You're listening to Off-Road Garage Podcast, and here are Jason and Jim.
And we're live. Special guest tonight, going off the rails.
Yeah, going way off-road. Yeah. So off-road, it's in the water.
It is in the deep water.
Whoa. Deep water.
It's going to be fantastic. Thank you for having me, boys.
Yeah.
Jim, Jay, here we are.
We're sitting around here. So excited.
Welcome. This is going to be rad.
All right, and we're done?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Good. It's a wrap.
Nice work.
The water's cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So you want to introduce yourself?
Again, friend? Yes, well,
yeah,
I do. Because
it's better coming from you.
It does.
It's a brand new voice.
I'll put on my
It's like a professional.
Voice. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kelly Blades, and I'm here.
And you're here.
What would you like to
what do you do?
What do I do? Well,
why are you here?
Why am I here is an important factoid. So I'm a team paddler for P&H Kayaks and NRS Paddling Gear, and I'm here to talk to you fine overlanding kids.
Fine
overlanding kids about the beauty and majesty and grace of water.
Overlanding.
Agua as my, yes, overlanding all the way over the land into the water. And then beyond.
Because so, if you go far enough on land, eventually you hit water.
Columbus thought that, yes. And he eventually, Americo Vespucci, whatever the guy's name is, found, yeah.
Sure.
So eventually if you keep going on water, you find land. And I think that's really where
and that's
we come
when
together.
It's
sort of a zen
kayak.
Moment, right. The three of us.
Yeah. For sure.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why you're here.
That is why I'm here, exactly.
This is already off the rails.
Already off the rails, and I love it.
Yeah. So before we get started, Jason, I told you about that itch that I have. Do you have any cream for that still?
No.
Gold Bond.
Okay. No. Gold Bond will work, maybe.
It's Gold Bond's the stuff.
It's hot and sweaty.
It is.
And you're on your own.
Bam.
You don't come prepared. I can't help you.
No, I understand.
It's kind of a go-prepared show.
Right. This is all about.
I thought that's what we were going to learn about.
We are going to learn all kinds of new.
So how did you get starting?
Well, the year was back in 1996. It was a different time.
It was.
Different age.
Clinton was in the White House.
Was he?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I was.
Sounds good.
I didn't pay attention to any of that. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. A long time ago. In a galaxy far, far, we're going to get sued for that, right?
Probably. I just said something. That. No, it's
So I started kayaking. I started working at a backpacking shop and started kayaking. So me, a Michigan boy, born and bred, Southland, Michigan. Yeehaw.
Right.
About a year and a half later after doing all, and I can run through those details if you find them colorful and interesting.
Kind of a little bit.
Some were pretty rad,
but
yeah.
Whatever, right. you're
comfortable
willing
with sharing with the world.
Share.
I'm very comfortable.
How far back you want to go?
How back?
We've
back
got 42 listeners who are going to hear this.
42?
All of them.
Here's hoping for 49.
Maybe.
It's going to be
maybe
great.
Maybe down to 40.
No, it's going to happen.
Half of them just cut off.
That's true.
When it wasn't like, oh, this isn't about Jeeves, I'm out.
What size tires you have on your kayak? You got 35s or 37s?
Well, they make those off-road trailers for kayaks. You drag them to the waterhead, to the beachhead.
Oh, yeah. Little booty tires there.
Yeah.
Little mudders on there. You can drag them right down
off
there.
The rails again.
It is. So, as I was saying, back in 1996, I started off working in a backpacking shop and started kayaking. And found myself going every other weekend down to West Virginia, West by God, Virginia.
West Virginia, mountain road, take me home.
Oh, that was way too right? bad.
Country road.
Yeah, there it is. That's the one, yeah.
No, here we go.
I hear her voice
I don't
in the morning. Yeah, it happened. There we go. So, yeah, I'd go down. Back in those days, we used to call Michigan the epicenter of whitewater, 500 miles in any direction you can get to whitewater. So it was a long trip going down to West Virginia, Pennsylvania, down to the Yaak, the Gully, New River, Tiger, all kinds of stuff. And yeah, Tiger, not pirate, Tiger.
Not the Tigress.
So I was a punk, what we would call a dirtbag boater.
Hell yeah.
So okay. I'll get you acclimated to the slang.
Dirtbag lifestyle, I'm down.
Yep, dirtbag. Back in the day, we were just called dirtbags and sleep on people's couches or in the middle of, you know, major thoroughfares, wherever we could find a
That's
spot.
Called van life now, I think.
Yeah, I believe
it's trendy now.
I was a hipster before it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the magic of it. So I go down there and do that, and I whitewater paddled for quite a bit and got hired by this guy named Stan Klotik, who used to live in, he was Czechoslovakian.
Okay.
Back when it was cool to be Czechoslovakian. Now it's Czechia. Because they separated after the whole Russian thing.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be a history lesson for you kids, too.
My mind's already blown.
This is post-USSR stuff, like the Cold War.
Yeah.
Someone is like, what am I listening to
right now? Yeah, I know. I just, they're going to go forward 2 minutes and go, shit. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. So, yeah, I was working for this guy named Stan Klotik, and he is an icon, a hero, if you will. He's probably one of the guys who brought modern sea kayaking to the United States. Him and a guy, Derek Hutchinson, Nigel Dennis, all these guys. So I started working for him as a punk whitewater boater.
Right.
And he wanted me to sell sea kayaks and teach sea kayaking, and I'd never been in one. But as he said, at the time I met him, he said, well, you are a whitewater paddler. And I said, yes, Stan, I am. He says, well, I can teach you how to sea kayak. I cannot teach you how to have nerve. You have nerve. So there, you know, and therein lies the rub. So that got me into big water sea kayaking across the world. I was delivering boats for him. I'd help him sell boats, and then I'd go out and teach. So that took me from coast to coast. Good year. Back in them dark days, I would teach in both oceans and all five of the Great Lakes multiple times.
Wow.
So I did a lot of traveling, a lot of boating. And the cool thing for me was that I didn't know anybody at the time.
Okay.
I thought sea kayaking was for old men because whitewater kayaking was way more fun. So I had no fear. And so these old men who I thought were, you know, old men, they would take me out into shit that most people won't run now, like, you know, out in tidal races and and terrible stuff. So I get a really quick, bad education. I was what's called in the kayaking world the probe.
Okay.
Yeah. So you guys probably in four-wheel driving, you have that one dumbass. Hey, Clem, why don't you try it first?
Okay.
Yeah. And was me in a sea kayak. So, yeah, I learned the subtle arts of navigation and expedition paddling. And so I worked for Stan for a while, worked for a company called Winona and Current Designs Winona Canoes and Current Designs Kayaks, and finally found my place with P&H and Piranha. Both British companies, all owned by the same guy, Graham McGrath, who's yet another legend in the kayaking world.
Okay. So,
and it just so happens that here I sit now to tell you all about kayaking.
So what I'm kind of gathering is, like, the whitewater guys are like the rock crawlers, kind of rowdy, kind of out there, metal music, let's get after it.
Oh, yeah, funny haircuts,
the whole thing. And then, like, your overland guys are going to be your sea kayakers, a little more planned out, a little bit more thoughtful.
And they have more money to spend.
More money, more gear, cleaner shit.
Like some maps, navigation equipment.
Oh, yeah. GPSs.
Getting lost in the ocean doesn't sound like a good plan.
No, it's really a bad idea, actually.
You really seem like you should be prepared for that.
But somewhere in the middle, you got like your Great Lakes paddlers and your fishermen and your recreational people. There's kind of like that middle ground.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out to our great state here. So, I paddled all over the country. I recently taught in Ireland, which was really cool to go do that. And so I've been in the ocean quite a bit. And the ocean paddlers really make fun of us Great Lakes people. And if you're from the ocean and you think the Great Lakes are just a big lake, you're a freaking idiot. I will say this right now. The equation that I make with – so in the ocean, you've got big waves and you've got waves that are on periods or sets come in periods. So you'll have like a 16-second interval between one wave and the other. And they could be 20 feet.
Okay.
It could be 20 feet high, but there's still 18 seconds between them. So you got a lot of time to bake a cake, you know, hang out.
I'm so in the no position right now. Yeah. I'm like, nope.
Well, it's 20 feet's a pucker factor. Don't get me wrong. It's still scary.
What's
right?
your boat, 18?
Like 5 feet, I bet.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah, 5 feet. No. But the Great Lakes waves are all windborne. And this is something for you guys, for the overlanders out there who want to go paddling on the Great Lakes, this is something to really pay attention to, that the Great Lakes waves are windborne, so they're much closer together. They're right on top of each other. So the intervals are like 5-6 seconds. So paddling in the ocean is a prize fight. You're in there, you're bobbing, ducking, weaving, throwing jabs, everything's cool. In the Great Lakes, it's a bar fight. So you're getting thrown around. Waves are coming at you. A couch could hit you.
Right.
It is awful. So it is more difficult to paddle in the Great Lakes than it is in the ocean. I'm here to tell you, and anyone can go out and go paddling with me, and I will show them.
Is there one that's is like superior or the worst? Is that
they all have their own magical, horrifying natures. Yeah. Okay. Superior's, I've had my ass kicked more times on Superior than any other lake. Okay. I've had my ass kicked on Lake Michigan quite a bit. And they're all beautiful.
Right.
I don't mean to make this an adrenaline rush. Every lake has something cool to look at.
Right, for sure.
But you know, Lake Superior is a very temperamental lake in the sense that it's deeper on one side than it is on the other. So as you move from Wisconsin, Minnesota side, it's deeper and it gets shallow when you get over to the Ontario side.
Okay.
So you've got what's called a fetch, and that's the distance that wind can blow across and push the waves up. Longer fetch usually will mean turn out to be longer waves or bigger waves.
Okay.
And then when you couple that with shallower water, you get huge waves that, you know, the kind that take down the Edmund Fitzgerald. Oh. So that's where that happened.
But you're saying shallow. You're still saying like that was not a 50 small feet, 100 feet.
Yeah,
what's shallow
yeah.
to you? Because like shallow to me is like knee deep.
Yeah, well, that's shallow to me too.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But for a freighter, you know,
right.
a little different. But you're talking, you know, a couple hundred feet, way deeper
right.
on the west side than it is on the can be than on the east side.
So for you, you're paddling a kayak.
16 feet long, 18 feet long.
Over 200 foot of water.
Yeah.
In 30, it's usually about 34 degree water, 35 degree water.
Oh, it's warmer than that, but it doesn't feel like it.
Right.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Hypothermia sets in minutes.
Yeah, actually, when you go to, you walk to the boat, you get hypothermia. I
right.
think they hand it out in the UP.
Right, just here you go.
There you go. Here's
a pasty, here's some hypothermia.
That's right.
Get after it.
Yep.
So your toes are numb getting in because you got to walk to the boat.
Yes.
And now you're going to go paddle out further.
Right.
Into Lake Superior Chop, which is known to eat freighters.
Yeah, you can see why my wife thinks I'm an idiot.
I mean, it's not like a great... I'm down. I would try it.
Yeah.
Sounds like
yeah.
your insurance
I would try
policy's
it.
Paid up.
Yeah. I'd rather... There's nothing that can eat you. Your biggest concern there is Mother Nature drowning you.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Yeah.
Nothing's going to eat you. No,
yeah.
no sharks,
no,
manatees.
I've always been a fan of the state because of that.
There's like, no, there's, like, stingrays that right. can jump up and hit me
nothing's
in the face.
Nothing's going
to
bite me.
There's some wisdom to unsalted and shark-free.
I got to worry about that yeah. one, what the grayling that can jump. That's, like, the one fish to worry about that can knock you out of your boat.
Oh, like the goby fish. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
There's a freaky flying yeah. fish that knocks you.
And it's
invasive, isn't yeah. it?
Yeah. yeah, it is.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. So. Yeah. But you get snakes. No. Now, there are snakes.
There's like snakes one poisonous snake, and you have to like find it and jam your finger in its mouth.
So years ago, I was paddling, and you know where Kelly's Island is in Lake Erie?
Yeah, kind of.
It's off Sandusky,
yeah.
right around there. Well, they have what's called the Erie water snake. And one year I went out there to teach, and they were excessively bad. So we were out practicing rolling a kayak mm-hmm. and doing everything. And every 15 feet, you'd see a little brown head pop up, and it was a Erie water snake. Now, they're not poisonous, but they do bite, and they get crabby.
Okay.
So
especially
yeah.
with a bunch of newbie kayakers
flipping
over in their house.
I'm like, all right, so we're going to practice rescue. Hop in. No. Mm-hmm. No, there's a snake right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. They're not going to bite you.
Yeah.
So can you? This is an off-topic question, but since I just got into kayaking,
yeah, because that's what we're doing right now is right on point.
Right?
Questions.
Can
oh,
you
yeah.
roll?
Yeah,
a
we have
footer?
A script ready. Going.
Exactly.
Can What's you that? Roll a 16-footer? Can you get it back over like with the
with the method? Yeah,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
actually the technique. I think it's a German term.
Yeah, it's German.
That's we just whip it right over.
Because I've seen
yeah.
dudes do
this
like
is so
the little
new to
shorties,
me.
Yeah, like the little
way.
Where your feet almost touch the end, like the whitewater boats. I've seen those flip them around and whatever.
Yeah,
I just couldn't picture like just a paddle. I'm upside down in my life vest, drowning. And I just go...
There's so many extremes to this. And it's just like for us for off-roading and Jeeps and stuff.
Yep.
It's like, you know, when some people say kayaking, some people would imagine, you know, grandma and granddaughter, mm-hmm. you know, just going along the little calm lake in the morning.
Yep. Eating a bundt cake.
And some guys are like, oh, yeah, kayak. Like those guys go down the rapids, man.
Yeah.
And they're dropping down waterfalls. And then you're like, sea guy. And I think of the guy who's like, you know, fishing. And all of a sudden the great white shark passes him. And,
yeah.
You know, those extreme videos. Like there's so many different levels of it. That's what I guess I knew but didn't really know.
Well, if you're not into it, it's like mountain biking. Everything's got a hierarchy. Everything's got like a, you know, Jeeps, kayaks, you name it. If it's outdoors, it's got a hierarchy.
It goes deep. What we're really getting to is there's no Jeep hobby in the world that gets
dirt
deep.
Collecting, maybe.
The cool, yeah.
No, because I think you get in different levels of
right.
sandstone.
This is moon dirt.
Moon dirt.
I don't do dirt.
Yeah.
But
no. But this is
where'd we
intriguing.
Go?
Yeah. I have no idea.
I'm just picturing like it's the whole. I love kayaking. Like it's my adventure side for me, right? And it sounds like he's sort of an adventure guy too. The whole kind of idea, right?
A little bit. It sounds like he goes on the ocean in a small boat,
right?
I watched. I was in San Francisco teaching at a symposium out there a couple of years ago. It was 16-foot waves going underneath the
Golden Gate
Bridge. We were right there at Sausalito, and the waves were big enough. I don't know why I think this is funny because
I went out in
it.
Yeah.
Well, no,
terrified already.
Like out there, it's 60. It's just rolling waves, so it's like paddling over like the Irish hills, right? It's not that scary. It's when they break that's when it gets scary. But the waves were big enough that a big old ship was coming through in this catamaran. And I'm sure the guy. I want to believe that the guy was you know, just a jackass.
Okay.
And he flew past this boat and decided to cut right in front of it. But the boat couldn't stop in 16-foot waves. So we're talking like 40-foot boat and a 40-foot catamaran just running over one another.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I don't know why that parenthetical aside came up, but it just cracked me up talking about that.
Just like watching chaos. Just I here to watch the world burn.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
I guess that's something I ever thought about either, like 16-foot rollers versus 16-foot breakers mm-hmm. versus the Coriolis effect of the waves over the, like, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I'm
the more the earth spins, the bigger the waves get.
How would I manage this and not die?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's practice. So I've been doing this a few minutes, right?
Right. It sounds like it.
I didn't start off just running in. Actually, I did, but I'm the wrong guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I had some great teacher that I had no idea that they were that good.
Somebody saved your life somewhere.
Oh, yeah. They say that kayakers are always between swims.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably pretty close. You know, I'm just waiting for the next one to come.
Right.
If I'm not swimming at one point or another, I'm not doing it right. But that's the extreme. We're not here to talk about the extreme. We're here to talk about what overlanders like about kayaking, right?
Well, that seems like it's one of the necessary, like, a common thing you see strapped to the top of of an overland vehicle. Yeah. So that's why I thought
it makes so much
bringing
sense,
bringing
right?
you on would really make sense and shed some light and some education to some people. And then we got to talking about, like kind of overlanding on the kayak, like going to islands and, like, camping on an island, which I thought was really awesome in its own. Like, that sounds like something I'd want to try, but.
And it is cool. And
only if you go.
I will go with you. I will feed you, baby bird.
Sweet.
I have a strict no-go policy, so if it looks ugly, I will pull the plug. But, you know, especially in the Great Lakes, there's a lot of islands and stuff like that. And that's one of the reasons that I fell in love with sea kayaking. It wasn't the adrenaline rush that I got from whitewater. It was, quite honestly, being able to go places where backpackers couldn't go, because it seemed inevitably when I go backpacking, you probably feel it too. Mm-hmm. You guys go someplace and you're in the middle of nowhere. It's super cool and everything. And then one jackass shows up with like Led Zeppelin's Greatest Hits or El DeBarge, Feel the Beat of the Rhythm of the Night right next to you.
Rhythm of the Night.
Exactly.
All night.
So,
oh my God.
So yeah, that would inevitably happen, you know, for me. Yeah. So I figured, well, where can't they go? And an island seemed right enough.
Yeah.
So I would you know, go, my buddies and I would go paddle out to, like, North and South Manitou are great examples. Near Traverse City off of Empire, it's about a 10-mile paddle across. It's a pretty simple paddle if the weather's not bad, but it was one of my first expeditions that I call it an expedition. It was really just a couple-day trip, but paddle across there, hang out, paddle around the island. Had the whole place to ourselves. So that's really what got me into the whole sea kayaking mindset. And I see it happening. Like, I watch some of these overland YouTube stuff, and I'm wondering why more people don't take kayaks with them. Because when you guys go places, you probably like to camp by a lake or a river or stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's human nature to want to be near water. Why not have a boat that you can throw in and go check or go fishing and whatnot? So.
That's kind of why I got into it. I mean, I've wanted to do it forever, but I never had the cash to go. I mean, because I know better that the ones you can get at Walmart or Dunham's or whatever could be very low-end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to buy it once, you might as well buy it right. So I kind of went a little bit into the middle, I guess lower middle, because it was about $600 or $800 a boat, which is kind of lower middle. I get it, but it had more features than the other ones did. I wasn't ready to drop $3,500 on a boat. But for me, like you said, I throw on top of the Jeep, and I'm that guy that goes – as far as I can in that thing. And I'm on 37s and locked. It's a big Jeep. I can go a lot of places in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I get to the end of the trail, and this happened to me in the UP. I was driving, and I took this beautiful route over rivers and through everything, and I get to the end of the world, and I look out at Lake Superior, and it's gorgeous. And I look to my right, and there's a guy in a Jeep that goes, "Hey, neighbor." And I'm like, oh, well, I came up here to get away from people. He ended up being really cool and a really good dude, and we're friends to this day.
Sure.
But I was going to get away from people, and I was in my Jeep, and I got away from people, and I found this guy. If I had a boat, I could have paddled that much further and been like, oh, I'm going to go to the next step I could go to, you know.
Now, have you been up to the mouth of the Huron?
The Huron River? Which one?
Up in the UP near, I want to say, you travel sort of northeast out of Lance.
Yes, I've been there. And it's between Lance and Munising.
Yeah, Pascanie.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So out there, there's a lighthouse about 5 miles out, four miles out,
okay.
that I've always wanted to paddle to, but I haven't. It's, I think we need to come up with a joint trip.
I'm down.
You get me in the boats out there, and I'll get you in the boats out. We'll take Jay with us just in case. He's a moderator.
In case you need an anchor? That's all I'm good for. I like sink, dude. I struggle to swim.
I can tell you. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Go to a little five horse, little Minn Kota trolling motor.
Now we're talking. Now I'm like, all right.
I actually want a paddleboard out there. I don't know why you guys don't have more paddleboards too, because that's like, I think the perfect craft for you guys. For you, you want to go fishing and whatnot. Yep. That's great to fish off of.
Because I fly fish, and it's like, especially sitting in the boat, I'm learning things. You know, I'm a novice fly fisherman. But sitting in the boat, all the line spools up in your lap and kinks and knots and gets stuck on things and. It's not the best. Where if you're standing, at least you can like normally cast and let it float in the water and it'll stay unknotted. So there's things to be said for a paddleboard. And the wife wanted one too, but I'm like, we can't do $2,000 in boats and $4,000 in paddleboards in the same year. So we got to figure out what we're going to do and go that route with it.
Now you can get inflatable paddleboards too.
Yep.
And those are great.
Really?
You guys already have air systems, right?
Yep.
Yeah, basically.
So yeah, you could just.
Yeah, I was curious about those, like how good they are.
So cheap plug NRS. The company I paddle for. Did I say that? The company I paddle for. They made their bones in this world by making rafts for raft companies down in West Virginia, Colorado, you know, all those places. So they knew how to make an inflatable something. So when the paddleboard industry started going off, they're like, screw it, we'll just make them out of this. And it turns out, I was skeptical, but it turns out they're great.
Really? They're made out of like that heavy duty PVC, like dry bags and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah. And they, you know, they pack down to, you know, what, a foot and a half by a foot and a half, and you throw it in the back.
Storage-wise, in a vehicle would be ideal.
And then if you guys have air systems on your Jeep, you just
usually come up with something.
It's got a compressor, CO2, and a 12-volt outlet. So I've got
all of it,
everything covered. Yeah.
You don't need one of those dumb hand pumps.
Yeah.
Like the kids use
the billows.
But you could use that.
You could absolutely. Yeah.
If I don't want to hear the noise when I'm out in nature.
Or. I mean, I'd probably use my Milwaukee air compressor. I'm joking. Shameless plug, right? We don't have them.
But something like that would make sense.
I just like them.
I do, too. Milwaukee's all right.
Like, when I was in the UP, I was going under bridges to trees that were smacking my roof line. So I'd hate to have my $4,000 Nigel European pretty boat up on there and be slamming into tree branches, where if I had an inflatable boat in the back that I could air up when I got to where I was going to be and go fart around and get hypothermia.
Or go catch dinner.
Right. I'm over here still picturing, like, I'm on a paddleboard in 5-foot rollers that are
don't do that.
Wind driven in Lake Superior. I'm like, this sounds like a terrible idea.
It sounds like a good plan. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then I would try. No, I
I'm better off to drive in the Jeep.
Fill out this
life
insurance form for me.
I will surf all day long in a kayak. I have tried to surf on a paddleboard, and I'll catch like an 18-inch wave and think I am Laird Hamilton. I am the baddest man on the planet.
Tearing it up. Wave surfer.
That's right. It's tough. It's harder to get into bigger waves for me on a paddleboard, but I haven't been doing it that long. So,
I'm also watching the progression now. I'm starting to see more paddleboards on the water. And I grew up rafting, but like, what's the right word? White Trash Yacht Club type rafting? Like, we had like
Redneck Riviera.
Yeah, we had the yellow raft, the Savoyer. It's like, you know, you get them at Target.
Savoy,
Kmart. And we'd fill it up, and we'd have like another one behind us full of coolers, full of beer. And my dad would paddle us down the Osable River.
Welcome to Michigan.
Right?
Yep.
And that's what we would do all summer. So I was always been a river kid. But I always wanted to have, like you said, expedition style, where I can go out in a kayak and paddle and actually have control over what's going to happen to me, what tree I'm going to hit, you know.
General direction.
Yeah, general direction.
Some kind of input. Yeah, I get that. I feel like I
You know, and I kayak, I canoed all through Scouts. You know, I did a bunch of canoe trips, stuff that in Boy Scouts, and that was cool. That was nice, but then like, I don't want to paddle a canoe by myself all the time. So you've got to have, like, it's almost like golf bag. I got my whitewater kayak. I got my river kayak. I got my ocean kayak.
We call that the quiver. Okay. So, yeah, you're the first
sounds
kayak.
Sounds cooler than golf bags.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't golf. So
I don't either. I just,
again, no my wife lets me drink at home, so I don't golf. But the first kayak you ever buy is the starter model, right? The first one's free, and then all of a sudden you've got a whole garage full.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. of boats. So, yeah, the traditional way of thinking, you get a whitewater boat and you'll get a sea kayak if you really get into kayaking. And then you realize, well, your whitewater boat isn't as good for surfing out on the Great Lakes or the ocean. So you get a little longer whitewater boat. But then you got the expedition kayak, but then you want your day paddling kayak. You see where this goes.
Right.
And then, of course, you have friends. So you don't want to screw up your cool boat with their butts.
So you got to have the loner.
So you get the loner boat, right. And then
I'm a loner boat guy.
Yep.
Listen, then you've got to have...
I don't want anything.
You don't want you to have a loner based on what you're doing, though, right? Because you can't give somebody an ocean kayak on a river for whitewater because it's too long and too... It's, I don't want to say fragile, but they look more dainty because they're so pointy.
Right. They're longer and narrower, and so they're more difficult to control. So they're good at going... They're, as I like to call them, skinny go fast boats.
Okay.
So for a typical sea kayak, they'll
That's
be
your
about,
cigarette boat.
Yeah, 22, 23 inches wide and about 16 to 18 feet long.
Okay.
I feel like I'd be tipping over all day long.
You'd think so, but it's not actually so bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have to get you out in the
boat. As long as you're only 18-foot rollers, you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that. Even then, you just kind of paddle up. Yeah. I mean, if you guys look up at the top of the garage, how tall is that top of the garage? It's 12 feet?
Yeah, probably about that.
Yeah, so it's a little bigger than that. So it can... Nope. When you're in the trough, it looks a little scary.
So it's where the peak's at.
Yeah, there you go.
Trying to see, you'll
laugh
run across the water.
This is your thing. My first actual kayaking experience was me and the wife, and she is not – she can swim, but I don't think she's, like, super strong swimmer, and she's not, like, an adventure chick. She's trying for me, and she loves me, so she's just up for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go up to the UP. We go over to Marquette, and we're staying in Marquette at Ducky's Paddling Adventure in New
Uncle
York.
Ducky's.
Uncle Ducky's.
That's right.
Staying in New York. Mm-hmm. And we jump in a two-person kayak.
Christmas. You were at Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we paddle the Pictured Rocks.
Okay.
That's our first kayaking experience.
Like, and you're still married.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, we did well. We went through the holes that's and crazy. Stuff, like under the rocks and mm-hmm. went through all the holes. But I can remember distinctly the coach. So the, you know, he's wearing like chacos. He's got long flowing hair. He's all tan. He's wearing like a fishing guy shirt. He's like, all right, dudes, like when the big boats come by you.
We call that a dude bro.
That was you back in 96.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I did not. I did okay. have long hair. I'm not going to lie. But
yeah. he had like that kind of shirt on, unbuttoned. Oh, yeah. He's all tanned, got chacos on. You know. He's like, when you see the big boats come, just make sure you turn into it. I'm like, turn into it. So we're farting around. I'm looking at the water, look at the wall. Like, oh, look at the bird and the rock is gorgeous. Yeah. And all of a sudden the boat's like sideways, like up, rocking like this. One of the tour boats came in hot. And gave us the wake, and it caught us in the gunnels, or whatever the side of the boats are called. See?
Well, look boat at you.
Well, technically
you're
the
one step
are.
Away from the having gunnels, the navigational like arrow, thing, arrow right? tattoo thing.
The gunnels are on canoe, but I see what
you
you're
know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
The belly of the boat, whatever, the side. And the whole boat starts rocking. The wife's freaking out. And I'm like, she has a life vest that's ill-fitted, so it's up right below her cheekbones. Because it's pushed off
She looked
her.
Like Bazooka Joe.
Oh, yeah. She's stuck like this, and she can't figure out. And I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, this is how I die. Because you can't swim. It's Lake Superior. You can't get up the – it's a friggin' wall.
This is how the news article starts.
That's our first kayak experience. And now we have our own boats.
Aw, that's adorable.
Oh. Yeah.
It's just so wonderful.
The hike out was miserable, for the record.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you go to? Mosquito Beach?
The further one.
Chapel Beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like a 2 or 6 mile hike out or 5 mile hike out or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
I love hiking, just not with wet, sandy shoes.
Oh yeah, you have to get over that if you're going to kayak. Right?
Well, no, I'm good. I would have just brought dry shoes for the hike out.
Right, right.
I didn't know. I didn't think. You know, like dumbass. I'm out there in sandals, are covered. My feet are bleeding by the time we walked out.
This sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? I heard recently something cool that was fun. Doesn't always have to be fun.
Yeah,
you got to suffer a little.
I get some of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's out in the water.
On your sales pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. No, I get up every year. I go to Pictured Rock. So okay. I run an event up there called the Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium.
Okay.
And it's actually going to happen the 14th through the 18th of July.
Even with the Rona?
Well, we'll find out with the Rona. We'll see what's happening.
I might be on vacation that week.
Yeah. So we'll be up there.
Heading to the UP.
Well, I'll be in Grand Marais right there. Okay. So yeah, we take trips out there. So I get up there pretty regularly.
Okay.
And yes, I've had my ass kicked on several occasions up there in the Pictured Rocks,
right.
But it's one of the most beautiful places on the planet to paddle.
It's sure. great. And I don't think people understand, like a lot of people aren't from Michigan. Listen to us.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Pictured Rocks, Jay?
I've seen pictures. Never.
So it's like the Michigan Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. right? Except for you're not in a canyon, you're just one wall of it. But the colors and the designs that nature made. You couldn't make.
Right.
And, like, when you see the picture, you're like, oh, okay, it's a wall. It's like looking at the garage wall. When you're out there and you're like, the size of a 10 millimeter socket next to my Jeep tire, that's how you feel. Like, you feel just tiny because there's a giant rock wall and, like, trees are falling off of it. And, like, it's insane. It's ridiculous. And you feel, like, super little. It's amazing.
And the colors are absolutely gorgeous, especially at sunset. It's you can't beat it.
And you get the greens of the copper and the orange of the iron ore and, like, running down the walls, and it's ridiculous. And then you paddle under it. Like, you can actually go through, like, these rock caves. Yeah, which gets kind of gnarly because you see all the what do they call it, like the shake that falls off of it over the years. Yeah. So you know at some point stuff has fallen, and you're, like, trying to go under it and not be terrified because it could fall on your boat and kill you. But you got to go under
it.
But you're
okay with, like, that's how I go.
You paddled 8 miles out into the lake, into, like, the biggest inland lake in the country, right? Like, it's huge. If you're going to go, I mean, I can't think of too many better ways. Except for drowning, would sound miserable. Maybe the rock would just kill me.
Yeah, if you're hoping. I would rather take the rock in the head. Although, get smushed. I've been out there when rocks have fallen.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. And the cool part, though, too, is because it's so clear. So Lake Superior is a dead lake. I don't know if you know this, but there's no vegetation that grows in the lake. So it's crystal clear. So you look down, you see these huge boulders down there, and you have no idea how deep it is. So when you go to, like, jump off cliffs and stuff like that, you're always horrified that, is that 4 feet or is that 105 feet?
Yeah.
You just don't know.
All right, because it's so beautiful, so clear.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a beautiful lake. I highly recommend everybody go. Here's another thing.
Nobody else should go.
Stop. Yeah, stop going.
Oh, yeah.
No, sounds miserable.
Don't need you up there.
Don't go up there and throw your beer cans in the woods.
If you want to see it, just check out pictures.
Exactly. So here's another crossover. You're going to get a little extra. So my daughter and I went up to Ice Fest this year, put on by, you probably visited the shop, Downwind Sports. I'm up in Marquette.
Yep.
So they put on Ice Fest. It is the country's largest ice climbing festival, and it happens right there at Pictured Rock. So the rocks are big enough and tall enough that ice flow comes down, and these guys scale. They have, like, 30 or 40 routes that they'll put in. So for an overlanding adventure, if you guys wanted to go up in the middle of winter to the UP and do some ice climbing, that's pretty badass.
Talking in a previous podcast how if this state had, like, snow-covered mountain-type mountains, where would you need to go? Anywhere else?
Yeah, well, you have to go to the Porkies, and even that, they're...
Yeah, but I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, we had, like...
Like the Rockies.
Rocky Mountain-style mountains.
Yeah.
Michigan's the state would have it all.
Yeah, I love it here. People hate it, and they want. I know there's some political reasons and some economic reasons that people hate it, but as far as, like, an outdoors person,
oh, we're spoiled
hugely.
We are completely spoiled.
We just talked to our friend Angel. He's from Virginia, and they've got paddling. Yeah. But if you want to go jeeping or dirt bikes, you got to go to a private property or a park.
Oh, that's awful.
Like, you can take your regular truck and go explore all of the UP legally with a sticker.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, like, Michigan maritime laws that you have access to water within 6 feet of the high water mark. So you can always have access to get off the water if you need to, which means pretty much everything is accessible in Michigan. You can go paddling anywhere you want to paddle, unless it's a private lake. There's a couple of lakes that are completely surrounded, and there's no inlet or egress for the water to go.
So you're saying if I'm on the Asabo,
correct,
or the Rifle, and I got to get off because I got a cramp,
they can't stop you.
I can get off 6 feet from the beach, even if it's marked private.
Yep.
Or 6 feet from the water line.
Oh, they're going to pretend like it's theirs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Karen's, just let them know. Karen's everywhere. Yeah.
Karen's 100% of the
time. But you don't own the water. God owns the water.
That's true.
It's
God's tears.
I'm big into fly fishing, and we fly fish the Pier Marquette a lot.
Yeah, I love the Pier Marquette.
And so we'll go in over by just, east of the Green Cabin. You know where the Green Cabin's at? Mm-hmm. We'll come down the big thing of stairs, and we'll walk the shoreline all the way up to the Green Cabin, which is like a mile and a half walk. All locals are like, you can't be on our property. I'm like, you said, I thought it was 6 feet.
Yep.
So walking upstream in belly button deep water for like a mile and a half is stupid.
Yeah, the Pier Marquette is completely open. They can't stop you from doing anything. Now, that does not preclude them from throwing things and shooting at you.
Yeah.
But I have been to Baldwin before, so I do know how that works.
Yeah. So it's a rad little town. It's a rowdy little rad town, dude.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty funny.
There's a prison and a bail bonds thing in town, and then like a meat shop. That's it.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
My grandfather used to own a pallet mill there in Baldwin back in the old timey times. I don't know what happened to it now, but yeah.
Our adventure list just keeps growing.
Well, you got years to do in Michigan. I mean, the UP, I love the fact that you go to the UP. I love the UP. In fact,
one of my favorite places on the planet, I think.
Like I said, next week I'm going up to the UP to teach for a few days.
Okay.
And then we're going to take a family vacation up there in August again. Just to check it out.
So. My wife's going to forbid our friendship from this guy, I think. She's like, you can't hang out with him. If you keep going to the UP and buying kayaks and stuff. And if I go buy a big water kayak, I got to buy a bigger reel for my fly rod.
There
so
you
I,
go.
I man. Can cast further. That'll be another $600 on top of the boat. I'm going to get a wetsuit probably for survival.
Yeah, people complain about how expensive kayaks are. Yeah. Fly fishing is ridiculous.
Yeah. All my hobbies are not expensive. Are not cheap. Yeah. Fly fishing, that's photography, kayaking, jeeps, dirt bikes,
just
mountain
bikes. Just got into. It just never ends.
Yeah. We'll start collecting like 2-liter bottles or something.
Yeah.
Oh.
The rare ice mountain.
A vintage coin collection would be cheaper than what you do right now.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
I collect gold bars. It's far cheaper than my photography.
Yeah. So,
how about this? How about let's talk about a new overlander just bought their Jeep and wants to go splish splash on the weekends.
Dig it.
What kind of boat should they look at? What kind of, what's the, is there boat the proper term?
Yeah. I hoped we'd circle back to my sagely advice.
While you're here, yeah. I mean, I figured if we're, if we're going to have the expert.
Yeah. So I really like, there's a classification of boat called the crossover boat. And what a crossover boat is, ostensibly, it's a hard deck boat, which means it's a sit inside, not a sit on top boat. They generally range anywhere from 10 and a half to 11, 12 feet. So they're not terribly long. They're shaped a lot like a whitewater boat. And, in fact, the first one that my company ever created was the Fusion, and that was based off of a whitewater design. So a little bit longer than the normal whitewater boat you'd find. But we did something interesting, and we put a skeg in it. And what a skeg does, it's kind of like your rudder, but you can't control it with your feet. So a rudder you can control with your feet back and forth. You can turn the boat with it. However, it's really just to pitch the boat so it doesn't weathercock, meaning it doesn't nose into the wind. A skeg will do that without having to use your feet, so you can still use your feet to paddle. They're generally about, these crossover boats are, you know, 24, 25 inches, so a little wider, makes you feel a little bit more stable when you're in it. A lot of volume, and the cool thing about it is that it's got bulkheads, usually front and back, fore and aft, which is... It does two things. It serves two purposes. One is that it's got storage, so you can throw your whatever, adult beverages or whatever. I do not condone kayaking and drinking beer. That's my PSA. So whatever you want to put in there is absolutely fine.
Yeah, right.
If it happens to be an adult beverage, I'm not going to tell you no.
Kind of like if it's an adult beverage, you should keep land in sight.
Well, you know, you do you, boo. What am I? There you go. That's the Fusion right there. That's my boy.
Google it. Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple other companies make them as well. But so that bulkhead allows you for gives you storage, but it also gives you a place where the water can't go. So if Kelly Blades here is paddling along and flips over in a boat, the boat's not going to sink. I've got airbags built into the boat front and back.
Okay.
So it's a really safe boat. It's still a boat that you can learn how to roll, how to paddle properly. It's fast enough. With that skeg down, it tracks really, really well. It tracks like a freight train. It's not the most efficient boat to take on longer trips. And when I say longer trips, I mean 8 to 20 miles in a day.
Oh, wow.
Kind of trips.
Okay.
It's just not as efficient as you would like. But if you're overlanding and you come up to a lake that you want to go see the other side of, that thing will track right across the lake. You can fish out of it. You can get a ram mount for it and do whatever. And like I said, a couple other companies make those boats. Like the Remix, I think Liquid Logic makes the Remix. But those are really the classification of boats that I think that overlanders should be looking at if they're going to get into kayaking. Another cool thing about it is it's a pretty self-contained boat in the sense that you can get a break-apart paddle, put all your paddling gear in it, put it on your roof rack. You don't have to worry about sweaty, nasty paddling gear everywhere, so it's just out of the way. When you're not using it as a kayak, you can use it as a storage box.
Right. So what makes the classification? So you're talking about it looks like a whitewater boat. It's not a whitewater boat. Like, how can somebody who's new, because, like, I just bought kayaks. I bought a different company that you're talking about.
Sure.
But I bought an 11-foot boat. It's, like, 27 inches at my hips, something like that. That's more of a crossover-type boat. But it doesn't look like this. Looks a little more aggressive. Like the back end is abbreviated to mine. The skeg is, I think, pretty important for tracking.
Let me take a look at that. Yeah.
Because my back end is more torpedo shaped. That one seems kind of more blunted, the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
The,
so when you look at, and I'm sure this is, you're going to find an equation to
the Jeep world,
Jeep,
I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But the entry and exit lines on a kayak make a huge difference.
Right.
So the wider the boat is in the front, the more snow plowy it's going
to
be.
Push.
Yeah, so you're going to be pushing water out of your way. It's going to displace differently. The flatter the bottom is, is going to be more stable on flat water, but once you get into those rolling waves, it's not going to take the waves as well.
Because you're up on top of the water, it's pushing you around.
Yeah, you're going to keep that plane.
Okay.
And if the plane of the water is at an angle with the wave, that's where your boat's going to go.
Okay.
So you have a greater chance of getting tipped over. So a rollier bottom, the chines is what that's called.
Okay.
How the water meets the boat, or how the water meets the boat, the part of the boat on the side where the water hits, it's called your chine. You can have a soft chine or hard chine.
Okay. And that's from the water line down, that whole part? Okay.
Yeah. So I like a rounded, more rounded hull in the front and the back. If you've got a sharper bow or stern, that means the water is going to, you're going to push through the water easier, cut through the water, and it's going to exit easier. So you're not going to get that eddy effect in the back of your boat to slow you down a little bit. So,
Yeah, we call it approach and departure angle.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
The further your tires are to the front of the truck, the more stuff you can climb.
And speaking of that, so we've got what's called rocker, and that's your departure angle.
Okay.
That's your ascent departure angle. So the more, as you look at the boat on the side, from a side view, if it looks like it's smiling, the bigger the smile, the more it's going to, first of all, the shorter the water line is going to be in comparison to the boat. So if you got an 11-foot boat and you got a big smile to it, that means the bow and the stern are out of the water. So you may only have like 8 feet of the boat in the water. So that's the only
contact patch.
Contact, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But also it means that you can turn the boat quicker. You can get up over things. You can, if you're an idiot, you can go over logs and whatnot.
And so that's the whitewater world. You're not doing that on the ocean, but in rivers and stuff, when you might need to do it more frequently, that might be something to look
into. Well, we do this thing called rock hopping.
Okay.
So you can, if you get a rock in the water.
They call rock climbing in the water.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Rock hopping. It's different.
This is so similar in such a bizarre way.
And that's how dudes get pinned and drowned.
Kayaking just got so complex.
It really did. Yeah.
Like, it's like a boat.
If we do hopping badly, then that might turn into rock climbing because we have to get out. No, so you got a rock, and think about a rock in the water, and you got waves breaking over. Well, those waves are, could be 6 feet or so. If you're really dumb and want to give this a try, and I don't recommend it at home for you kids, you can try to get up on top of the wave and get over the rock before it bottoms out. That's called rock hop, and you can get
kind of like
the
timing.
Yeah,
just got to be just right, or you break your boat and spine or whatever.
We have a very technical term if you fail it called eating shit.
Oh yeah,
and if
okay,
so
followed by drowning.
Actually, last week
there's no drowning. There's not much drowning. There's only a little drowning. Just a tiny little drowning.
Just drown once.
Yeah, you only need to drown.
You can do anything once. That falls into that rule.
What do you tell a guy who's drowned twice? Nothing you haven't told him twice. Okay, yeah.
Well. I watched a rad video there on the PNW, like up in Oregon, Washington State, somewhere on some river, and it was just broken off trees and rock hopping, and they were in these little boats, little kayaks, going down waterfalls. And I'm like, that looks awesome and terrifying at the same time. He's out there. He goes out and puts like a motocross helmet on, like a waterproof motocross helmet, and a big-ass life vest. And he goes, all right, dude. And he like puts himself in the boat on the dirt and then like hops into the water because you can't stand in the water because you're going like 47 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he just proceeds to go down this canyon with walls on both sides and dead river rocks and trees. And he's jumping over them, and I'm like, so this is what this guy does? It's coming out in the show, huh?
Yeah. I used to.
Yeah.
Back in the old-timey times. Right. Now I've got kids and a mortgage. Now I'm just happy.
A little more relaxed and just paddle across the open ocean.
Exactly.
You got your tweed coat and your elbow patches now.
That's right. I've got a big pipe and a leather-bound book.
It smells of rich mahogany.
Welcome to kayaking, my friends. Stay moist.
Crossed the channel several times.
Yeah.
I also learned this the other day, the importance of
paddles. Tell me more, Jim.
The importance of paddles.
Paddles.
And the shape and the weight and how much that affects your enjoyment.
I got to tell you that I think that paddles are probably the most important choice you can make. If you're going to spend money, and I don't know what this equates in the overland world, but if you're going to spend your first upgrade to get something awesome, go for a paddle. Because the paddle is that thing you're swinging every single time you take a paddle stroke. So lighter and more effective and the right size is always better.
This got so complex.
I know.
But realistically, like you said, it ties in everything so well.
It does.
Because, like, I bought myself, I've got like a 120 or something or 140 paddle. I probably should get a little bit longer one.
No.
No, that's right?
No.
Okay, wrong. I did it right.
See?
No, so I got a shorter one?
220. You probably.
Okay.
220. I use, quite honestly, I use 200, a little less in most of my boats. That's a technique thing. So if you're not in the best way to describe it, if you're not using the mechanical advantage of your paddle, if you're using technique, you want a shorter paddle.
Okay.
But yeah, 240. Think about, you know, putting a whole lot of weight as far away from your body as possible, and you're swinging that around. Mm-hmm. It just tires you out. And if you don't want to be tired, if you want to keep paddling, buy a good paddle and enjoy it more.
And that's something I just found out. Like, I was YouTube researching, because, like you said, I got sick and my shoulders start to burn after, you know, 3 hours in the boat.
Yeah.
Or my elbow tries or whatever starts to go to shit. And I'm like, well, this is why. Because it weighs, you know, and it's ridiculous because it's weighed in grams.
A few ounces.
It's weighed in grams or ounces, and it, like...
Yeah,
and it's exponential.
This is insane.
Because my like the pedal so I bought was like $50.
Yeah,
right. They go to like hundreds.
Right,
but then they're like carbon fiber and like space age technology that like aliens gave to Jesus, and then he shot it down to us.
You forget that was molded by Bigfoot.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Bigfoot, it's like unobtainium. It's ridiculous, but you know, it weighs like less than a beer can.
Yeah, my mind is so blown right now. I was about like the, hey, just hop in this boat and paddle around this lake level. Of like, okay, I don't know, sure.
Yeah. Well, you can still do that. See, now let's sum this up, because I know it's getting late, boys, and we probably have wives to go see at some point or another. But I will sum this up. Yeah, so I'm a nerd. I'm a kayaking nerd. I get that. I own it. I love it. I've been all around the world doing it. That does not mean that you guys have to be kayaking nerds.
Right.
Any time spent out on the water is better than spending behind a desk.
For sure.
Go out and have some. It doesn't matter if you buy a $200 boat or a $5,000 boat. Just go out and enjoy it. And once you realize that you enjoy it, then you can start spending the money. It's probably like the same axiom you guys use for overlanding, right? Buy an old piece of crap Tacoma 4Runner or Tacoma or a 4Runner or something like that, and go have fun and see what it does, and then jack it up.
We actually just had that conversation with the last guest. It was the same thing where it's like, okay, I just started kayaking, so I'm very novice. You're professional, obviously. You paddle for somebody.
Yes.
Jay doesn't paddle at all. If he goes on our Instagrams and he sees you in Maui kayaking with sharks, and he's like, well, I want to do that, and he sees me in Milford Lake, he's going to want to spend the $4,500 on your boat and your setup, when realistically he'd probably better served on the $600 on my setup and go learn before he realized that I hate kayaking.
Exactly.
But
is it kind of the same where if you go too cheap, then your experience is kind of so miserable, and like, God, this kind of sucks.
It could, yeah. And if you're looking at a big box store, one of the, like Wally World or something like that, if you're looking at the $200 mark, you're getting exactly what you pay for, right? But if you go to I have a friend up in Lansing. I'm going to do a cheap plug. Power Water up in Lansing. Shout out to Trey. He's one of the guys who runs the Great Lakes Sea Kayak Symposium.
He's got flowing locks.
He lovely flowing locks.
Okay.
He looks like Favio.
Nice.
Sweet. Magical. I can barely contain myself when I'm around him. But he owns a shop up there, and he specializes in high-end $5,000 kayaks. But that does, and he's the first one to tell you that you don't have to buy one of those. Come take a lesson first, just a lesson. And then buy, $600-$800 kayak is great, and that'll get you so many places. And not everybody has to be out on the ocean.
That's what we discovered, my wife and I, because I got her to adventure because she gets to play in the water and be on beaches. We're in like a $700 boat, each of us, with a $50 paddle, and we finally bought like Better Life Vests, or the ones you can pull and they pop up or whatever.
Yeah,
because we don't like the ones that choke us, because we're not doing white water.
Right.
I just need something for buoyancy. But for us, it's a great adventure. Now that I'm starting to figure out what I need, if I wanted to say, like, go to the UP and do like a, or the Boundary Waters, for example.
That's a canoe all day.
Don't
fool yourself.
Okay.
You'll come back and punch me in the eye. You take a kayak.
Okay. Well, if I want to do like an overnighter in my kayak,
yeah,
I might want to get a different boat. And now I got to start looking at different, what I need. Now I have a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if I had to sit on top and I did it twice a year. Okay.
Well, and that's an interesting point for our overlanders as well. Sometimes a sit on top. I'm not a sit on top guy at all, but sometimes a sit on top is better. If your goal is to go in the middle of nowhere and go fishing, there's no better platform than a sit on top. But they're heavy and they're big. I get that. But sometimes sitting on top of a kayak is great.
And should you roll it, there's no concern of it sinking because it's going to float just upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Versus mine, the cockpit will fill up, and I got to figure out how to drain it or whatever else kind of mess I got
going
on.
That's why you get some bulkheads. These are the things you start learning as a kayaker. So, there you go.
Pretty rad. You got any other questions?
This has been so informative. I'm like blown away. I did not, I'm excited.
Are you impressed with my knowledge of different kinds of outdoor stuff?
I knew you would like this. I was like, this is going to be.
This is the stuff I'm into. Because like you said, it's like I've been backpacking since I was 16.
And it ties in so well.
Mountain biking, kayaking. You know, the problem is I've stuck to Michigan. Like, I enjoy Michigan. I want to go do, like, something in Colorado. Like, hike Colorado or mountain bike Colorado or kayak in Colorado. Whitewater doesn't do anything for me, but, like, adventure is cool.
Yeah. You say that now.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, get hit.
You get hit. Yeah. So.
But I think you're right. I think it ties in really well. Yeah. And I think hopefully some, you know, people take some something away from this. And because I know there's some people for sure who are, you know, looking at the Walmart for, we go overland and we were camping next week and let's take kayak. Oh, well, let's go to Walmart and buy one. Well, maybe they might reconsider a little something better, a little more something suited for their needs or what they're looking for. And I think it's going to be perfect.
Absolutely.
And Fresh Coast did that overland Manistee Forest trip, overland kayak trip together.
Yeah.
You know, where can they find you or somebody that you recommend for lessons?
Well, honestly, I teach a lot through the Power of Water, so powerofwater.org,
okay.
I think it is. Yeah, in Lansing, Michigan. Okay. But Trey is the owner. Scott, who works for him, is one of my kayaking mentors from way back. They run great programs. He's actually, he runs the Michigan State University programs over there, but he also does international stuff. So he's the guy I taught with in Ireland when we went out to Ireland. Okay. He does beginner lessons all the way. So Power of Water is probably the great place to start. Okay. You call those guys up, and they'll be able to tell you what kind of boats to look for and what kind of paddling gear, because it all makes a difference. You know, just like an overlanding, every little bit of gear makes a difference in what you do. So, yeah, give Power of Water a shout out there.
Just like backpacking, you pay for weight.
Yep, absolutely. And you pay for performance as well.
Okay. So. Anything else?
I'm all set.
P&H Kayaks, Power of Water.
Piranha Kayaks.
Piranha.
And then, NRS. I'm going the full boat, huh?
Yeah, get
NRS.
Them all. Screw it. I mean, if you're on there.
Get them all.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we might find somebody that, you know, maybe I'm the next kayak guy. Who knows?
I'm interested. I'm definitely want to give it a try.
We got two boats.
I know a guy. Yeah. I know a guy can take you out paddling.
I know. Now that I know you got a loner boat.
Yeah.
<That's> cool. You better learn a thing.
It's going to be a half sunk set on top.
I end up selling all the Jeeps. Go straight.
That's right. Just straight into kayaking. Just straight. I'll borrow your Jeep. You can borrow my boat.
Don't.
Yeah, don't get into it. We'll just share.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll make a commune.
Finally, we'll figure out how to make these hobbies somewhat affordable. We just share resources.
Hey, can I borrow the dirt bike this weekend? Cool. I'll trade you for the Jeep. All right, cool. I'm going kayaking.
Yeah.
Rad.
Yeah. Triple.
Excellent. Well, guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. And I think that's a wrap.
I'm going to Google the shit.
I love you all.
I know. You're so into Googling. I don't even know if this is working. Probably not.
There
it is. There it is. All right. And we are out.
Yeah. I'll give you jazzed out. So shut